The following podcast is brought to you by the Communication and Media Studies Department at Dominican University of California. Welcome to The Latina Lens, where we discuss the beauties and struggles of growing up as a first-generation Latina. I'm your host, DJ Dulce. Welcome to episode 2 of The Latina Lens. If you listened to episode 1, you heard me talking about what it means to be first generation and what goes a little bit beyond the term of first gen, but in a broader sense. So today I just wanted to talk a little bit more in depth about a specific issue that I feel isn't talked about as much. And we come across this barrier all the time as bilingual students and individuals, and that is language barriers. From schools to home to offices, doctor's appointments, language is something that shapes how we move through the world. And when English isn't your first language, you know the struggle of having to translate or not even understanding what somebody is telling you and how you're going to interpret that to another person, like your parents, for example. And when English isn't your first language, or when you're the only one in your family who speaks it confidently, the world feels a little bit different. Now let's talk about it. So if you grew up first generation, you learn to interpret, because even though English probably wasn't your first language, you still learned and advanced a lot more in that than your parents did, because you started learning it at a young age. And typically, when an adult tries to learn another language, it becomes a little bit more difficult and harder to adapt to compared to if you're growing up constantly hearing this language and grasping onto words and memorizing everything. Some of us were translating before we even knew what half the English words meant. And somehow we were expected to be mature, calm, and accurate about it all, especially when it came to forms and applications, because obviously we didn't want to mess anything up. But imagine you're a child standing next to your parents in the doctor's office, and the doctor is trying to explain to a non-English speaking adult, and so they ask you to interpret, and you're the only one trying to explain symptoms, paperwork, insurance terms that you probably didn't even know. You become the bridge between your family and the world, and it becomes a lot, especially for a kid. But either way, we still did it. We continued to help our parents, and language barriers turn children into advocates, and that's honestly powerful, but it's also something most people never really see or take into consideration. But let's go in a little bit deeper. Because language isn't just communication, it's identity. And it's the way our family shows love, discipline, humor, care, regardless of what language it is. But when you're first gen, there's this feeling of being stuck between two different worlds. And at home, you're speaking one way with a specific language. And in public, you switch and you start speaking English. And you go to school and it's different again, because maybe you have Hispanic friends and you're using both of those languages, and it becomes a little bit exhausting and make you feel like you don't belong anywhere. But as you get older, your English gradually progresses, and sometimes it just becomes a little bit easier. But then you see your parents trying to communicate with the Spanish accent that they have, or the mispronunciation of words in English. It's very difficult for Latinos to navigate the world when they don't know English. I've seen people experience that type of struggle, because even though I do speak English and Spanish fluently, I have done so much work in service learning here at Dominican that have opened my eyes to the reality of the systems and how unjust they are, because you pretty much need to know English to do anything in this world, even if it's filling out applications or doing things, because at the end of the day, even if questions are translated in Spanish, the resulting process is always going to have to be in English. For example, driver's license exams, because you may be able to take the written exam in Spanish, but when you're taking the physical driving part, you're more likely going to get stuck with somebody who speaks English only and don't know how to navigate you through the exam. And that becomes difficult. And I know that firsthand because a family friend of mine had experienced that. I had helped him prepare for his exam and he took it in Spanish. And when it came to the driving part, since he is an only Spanish speaking individual, it was kind of hard for him to ask questions while they were driving, just to clarify anything that he wasn't unsure of when he took the test, or some of the questions that he missed, or just any questions of directions. It was super difficult, and I remember him telling me that he didn't know what the lady was telling him, but she would try her best to use her hands to signal some sort of motion for him to understand what she's talking about. And he said that helped him, but it was still difficult. And yet he still passed. He still passed his exam. And it wasn't only with him that I saw this struggle with, because one of my service learning partnerships at Dominican was with Canal Alliance. And I had helped Latinos get their driver's license, which is why I also helped this family friend, because I already knew methods for studying because of the way that we were told to do at Canal Alliance. And so with these individuals at Canal Alliance, they came in not knowing what to expect. And a lot of them during the application process didn't even have their social security ready, or they didn't have a certain document that was needed. And so there was multiple steps for each of them. But when it came to studying, the team there had also given us a little bit of liberty to figure out helpful study methods and things that might have helped us. Like, for example, if we're preparing for an exam, what's the best form to memorize all these questions and memorize answers and take key information out of the driving handbook to help us understand the rules of the road. And so we would even do Quizlets, practice exams. We would also play games to try to help with memorization, especially with signs, which was the most difficult part as well, because not knowing how to speak English or read English is super hard when it comes to the road signs, because when you take the test, even though you take the questions in Spanish, the road signs never change, because these are signs that we see all the time, like the stop sign, the yield for traffic sign, or no turn on red, things like that. It was kind of difficult for them to understand because some of them didn't even know what a one way was. So seeing the sign and trying to read one way was a little bit difficult. But little by little, in the weeks that we worked together, they got the hang of it and they ended up passing their exams. But a lot of them kept getting confused when we would study, because they would confuse the words of certain signs, and that was the main issue. Because even though in the United States it's required to know English to even navigate through here, it can be very difficult for those who don't speak it, especially if it's not their first language. And it wasn't just with driver's license applications that I saw this struggle, but one of my other partnerships had also been with a middle school here in Marin. And my position was basically a tutor for students that were Spanish speaking only. So I remember walking into the classroom at this middle school and the teacher handing me a book and telling me basically that I was going to help some of the students read and understand this book, and the book was given to me in Spanish. And so he had also mentioned that they will be listening to an audio as they're reading this book. I pulled some of the students aside that I was working with because At this partnership, I was told to work with 3 or 4 students at a time, and so I had sat with them, and I remember they were reading a chapter of Esperanza Rising, and that was one of my favorite books when I was in middle school. So having to help them reread this book and get an understanding of the story was honestly really thrilling for me because, again, I really loved the book. But my only issue was I noticed that the students were so confused at what was going on because they were hearing the audio in English and reading the book in Spanish. And that's what made it so difficult for them. And I remember one of the students asking me about the storyline of the book because they were lost. And they had then asked me if we could just read the book without listening to the audio. And I found that to be a great idea because that same day, they had a quiz based on the audio that they had listened to. And those 4 students, even though I tried my best to explain while they listened to the audio, they didn't pass those exams, those pop quizzes. Instead, I talked to the teacher afterwards and I mentioned the comments that some of the students had made. And he agreed to allowing me to sit outside with them on the bench and read the book with them at the same pace as the audio. And quickly, as the weeks went on, every pop quiz following, they passed with 100% because they were able to understand what was going on and understand the information. And that's another thing. Their tests were given in Spanish also. So imagine everything that you're doing in Spanish, but yet you have somebody telling you in English and you have to comprehend both things simultaneously. It's really difficult and I felt really bad, but I knew that I had to talk to the teacher about it in order for these students to succeed in that class, which is also my job as a tutor also, to help them succeed. And it definitely worked. And the teacher was very understanding about it also. And then eventually gave me a good recommendation, but you can definitely see how sometimes the system, education, or legal system can be really unjust. And nobody really talks about that because it's so unspoken about that you don't really realize it until you see or you experience it yourself. And that's exactly what happened to me. However, being able to navigate multiple languages, even if it's imperfect, it's still a skill, it's a key skill that only we could understand because most people don't understand what it's like to live in 2 different worlds with 2 different languages. And so you adapt in ways people never see. You're actually operating a higher level of awareness and complexity, and language barriers teach us each creativity, considering the fact that I also have experienced that with figuring out study methods for these clients at Canal Alliance. It really is an experience to teach resilience and patience and should be talked about more often. But thank you for spending this time with me today and listening about the struggles with language barriers and how they affect us every day as we navigate through life. It definitely shapes us to become who we are and allows us to help those who don't know English very well, and it gives us that reward of knowing that we're also helpful. If this episode spoke to you, share it with somebody, share it to another first generation friend who might relate to this, and for the Spanish speakers also, leaving with another message with this episode. Pero recuerda de que tú tienes el poder de ayudar a otra gente. Tú puedes navegar este mundo sin saber hablar inglés. Y tenemos que echarle más ganas y seguir adelante. Aunque a veces sea difícil, lo podemos hacer. Porque somos una comunidad y estamos unidos.